I just saw an interesting story. Abraham Kanievsky, Zichrono Livracha. I think it's interesting. It gives us a bit of an indication how far we are from, you know. I thought it was quite interesting. We all know Abraham Kanievsky was his knowledge and memory of Torah was second to none. Very, very literally, the way he remembered Torah and. He went to a bar mitzvah of one of his grandchildren, and I just read in this biography, and then he was looking a bit concerned by the end of the bar mitzvah after the shtickle was said, and then one of the people went up to Abraham and he said, Abraham, why are you concerned? He said, there was a word I didn't understand. He said, what word? He said, because the bocha is lefasfes. In modern Hebrew, he obviously spoke in modern Hebrew. I don't think it was a grandson, actually. It must have been, wider family. It was in lefasfes, to miss. And said, there was a word in nonsense. The whole shtickle Torah was nice, but there was lefasfes. I don't know what lefasfes means. I was going through Gemara Shas. I was going through Yerushalmi, Tosefta, Sifosifi. I couldn't remember this word anywhere. Where does lefasfes come into it? And the only place is the Tosefus in Eruvin. It says, because there's not obviously no connection to the word what Mitzvah was talking about. So he went literally to, it's absolutely unbelievable. So apparently, after he got married, his wife was once, the famous Everson Kanievsky, she was once, just after they got married, like a half a year, she was not well. And there was first and only time that she asked her husband to make a tea. So she asked Abraham to make a tea. And apparently, I don't know, my daughter's telling me that the story is a famous story. I didn't know it though. So she asked Abraham, do you mind to just make that? I literally can't get out of bed. I'm really, she had that cold or whatever. She couldn't get out of bed. So she asked Abraham, sure. And he tried to make a tea, but it was completely, it failed bitterly how to. It was the first and only time he attempted to make a tea. Everything went wrong, and with the water and electricity, everything went blowing, and everything went, the fuse went, and everything out of. And she couldn't do it. And she said, you know what? After the floor was completely soaked, and he wasn't, it's literally. So she asked him, he said, Chaim, I don't understand. You're such an intelligent man. You're such an intelligent man. How come you can't make a tea? Like, well, what's wrong? And then you're writing svarim like derech emunah and everything. Why can't you do it? And he answered to me mistake, and he said, no. He said as follows. He says, I daven every single day. I daven based on a medrash. He said, I daven every single day that before I go to bed, I daven two tefillas. One is that whatever I learned during the day, I should remember. Bezer Hashem. And the other thing, the other tefillah that I do is that everything which is not Torah connected, I should forget. Okay. Everything is not Torah, I should connect. And then Abraham said, he said, I don't know why, I said, the second tefillah I know is definitely Niskavar. Kodesh Baruch Hu listens to the second part of the tefillah. The first tefillah I don't know. But he said, I know that he was well known. He brings a medrash, I didn't know that. You know, we always look at it, we can't do any harm to know all the things. But Abraham was of the opinion that that you've got a certain limit, how much your head can remember. There's a limit how much you can memorize and how much you can know and actually retain. And the more of the non-Torah related things is in your head, the less space there is for Torah. Very literally, that's how Reb Chaim understood. And therefore, he literally doubted that he should forget all the non-Torah related points. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zichrono Livracha, how far we are from that. Okay, I wanted to mention a question which I do not have the answer. I don't know. I looked around. I don't have an answer. It's actually related to what we learned and completed yesterday. That was with regards to Baruch Hu. So we learned about Baruch Hu and in Siman Nun Zayin. Shliach Tzibus is Baruch Hu. You say Baruch Shem Veirach, etc. And we went through the whole Siman, and there's nothing more written about Baruch Hu than what we discussed. And we actually started Siman Nun Ches as well yesterday. But
first of all, everybody made a mistake. It's not Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu.
Baruch Hu.
Baruch Hu, yeah. Or Shema Yisrael. Everybody says Shema Yisrael.
Yeah.
Or Shema Tefillah. Shema Tefillah. Because when I hear Shema Tefillah, like Tafel.
Tafel, yeah.
It's
not, yeah. Yeah, but not everybody's got such deep knowledge of Hebrew like you do.
No, he said on the Shema,
to make sure that you make a Shvonah and Shvonach correctly. Yeah. So, but here the question is, there's one thing which is not mentioned. And we're so used to it, but it's not mentioned in the halachas. We spoke about, you say, Ochri reply, if you join in the oilem or not, and he says you don't interrupt, but it's something which is not mentioned at all. It's just simply not mentioned. It's simply not mentioned. We didn't mention it because it's not mentioned. What do we tend to do?
Bowing.
Yeah. The bowing down is not mentioned. Well noticed. The bowing down is not mentioned. We spoke about Kaddish, right? Kaddish is what's mentioned, and many people don't bow down for Kaddish. But here, by Din Bochu Van Yosoi, it's not mentioned at all, the fact that we bow down. It's not mentioned. It's just simply not mentioned. Not in Shulchan Aruch, and not in the Mishnah Berurah. It's just not. So the question is, so there is Mekoyos, there is, if you look in the early post-kim, there is perhaps a Mekoyos to do that, but it's not brought down in Halacha Psuka, in the later Achronim, it's not brought down, which I think is important. So apparently what I did see was that Shlomo Zalman, because of that, Shlomo Zalman, oh, Bach Zichron Livorcha, he therefore wasn't particular about this. Like, you know, whatever he does, he also did, but we don't have to see that such a crucial aspect of the, it's not such a crucial halacha. If somebody does, it's great. If somebody doesn't, it doesn't really, it's not. And also in terms of facing Mizrach, there is a common misconception. You have to face Mizrach when you say Bochum. You have to face Mizrach. You have to turn around to face Mizrach to say Bochum. The answer is, you can, but you don't necessarily have to. There's such few Mekoy, such an unregistered Mekoy for it, that it's not, it might not be so important to actually face Mizrach when you say Bochum. So Nice pshat. As to whether you should face Mizrach, yes. There's probably no inyan. Why should you dafke? Yeah, so that, you're right conceptually when it comes to indirectly, when it comes to the Shemoneh Esreh, indirectly, that's where we learn from that you bow down. It's from Psukim and Melochim, which indicate that you bow down. It's true, what you're saying is true, but it doesn't necessarily mean that every time that we bow down towards Mizrach. So where, who's...
The mission about the ancestors, not the good ancestors, the ancestors faced the backs of the Heichal.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Does that not seem to
imply? I don't know. I don't know. Interesting, I don't know.
Does it say, it actually says you can bow in any direction?
With regards to what?
Not
So it depends what. So, but Boch has mentioned now, it was a very little makot to bow down in the first place. So for sure you don't have to bow down towards Mizrach. But again, I'm saying it's, if everybody does, it's probably the right thing to do to go with everybody else. But you just have to know that it's a lower level kind of minig, or I don't know if minig is the right word. There is a very little makot, but what I'm pointing out is that it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. There is a Makoy, but it's not brought down. It's a Shvach Makoy. Okay, Rabbi, so let's carry on with Hilchas Shema. We mentioned yesterday the correct timing of Shema, and there is here another interesting. I want to emphasize over here a very. I have a few kashas here, a discussion which I want to mention over here. What is the earliest time, not the earliest time, the best time to say Shema, we learned yesterday. The Mimitz Mimna Mufcha is when? That's right. So you say the Birkas Shema just before Netz, and then Shema Esser will be said with Netz. That's what we learned yesterday. Okay, now, there is a bialoch here which I want to emphasize because it's quite I want to look at this the bialoch on the side. Mitzvah min amufch the bialoch says da. You should know, says the bialoch. The Chofetz Chaim says da zehirim likros kevasikin. Those individuals who are zohir, who are careful to say Shema and Shema as a kevasikin, so as discussed and as mentioned with the nets, mutter likros lispal biyichidi. Those individuals are even allowed to daven kevasikin beyechidi. What's beyechidi? With the Aminyan. Im Eilo a minion, if there's no minion, if there's a minion, and that's minion, so sure, they should, you know, that's the time they daven to go to minion, that's great. But failing to have a minion, if there's no minion, then you could daven, says the Bialocha, you could daven without a minion, with the nets. He brings the raya, don't have Mishneh Brochas, Yurad Litvoil, okay, brings the raya. Vafilim Eilo tefillin, and even if you don't have tefillin, if you don't have tefillin, and you daven normally nets, gam ken afiloch izoli koise bizmano, samuch lanetz, if you don't have tefillin, you should still daven without tefillin with the nets. And that's a bit awesome. So the question is as follows. What is he saying? He's saying that you could daven with the nets
without
a minion. So does that mean if, say, tomorrow, what time is Nets tomorrow?
Night.
Yeah? Night. So you know what? I'm going to ensure to catch the Nets, and I'm going to daven at home.
Is this someone who does it for wrong?
Yeah. What?
I was going to say what
he said. Yeah, so it's a question. If you look at the words of the Bialocha, he says, Sikin. What does that mean? He said, the ones who are Zoya, the ones who are careful. Oh, so you're interpreting it that Zoya means people who are careful, means that they do it regularly. Not just that. Right. I think you're probably right. There are some people that want to say that, some people want to say that if you're Zoya, that means today I'm Zoya. Today I'm careful. I want to catch the mitzvah. Today I'm Zoya. Today I'm careful to daven nets with the ideal time. I'm going to daven with the ideal time. It's not pshat? You feel that, how would you interpret it? That you're rogel every day. So if you're rogel throughout the whole year, right, then you could rely on it. But otherwise, it's the wrong thing to do. Yeah, yeah.
Those who are
careful. That the hazor here. So you're medayik that what? That it means that somebody's regularly, yeah. So somebody wants to ask me, I don't know what the answer is. Somebody who takes many months, depends, I suppose, where you live, but many months throughout the whole winter, no problem to live in the nets. No problem at all. Autumn and spring, you can cope with that as well. But there are people that, for the, let's say, call, say 9-10 months of the year, they're fine with nets. But then when it comes in the real summer, when the nets is really, really early, what's the earliest you can get in England? Yeah, then you can't. It's just not possible. And that's when some people drop out. Would a person like that be considered a Zohir? So say an individual like that is now in a situation where he doesn't have a minion. Can he not daven without a minion? Is he considered a Zohir or not? Does he need to be literally 365 days a year? Question number one. A similar question, but slightly different perhaps. What if a person who daven 6 days a week, he davens with the nets, but Shabbos he doesn't? Could he one day decide on a Shabbos to daven with the nets without a minion?
What, in the place where there is a minion?
Yeah.
Not that he's gone away
somewhere. Yeah, I suppose when there's no minion, yeah.
He's not during the Yom HaShechol, then that's why he's not the Yom HaShechol.
So that means that...
He's never
Zohar. So is as far as Shabbos concerned, he's going to... He davens with a minion, the nets. Yeah, with a minion. With nets.
Oh, so it depends what his mindset is. If
he's doing it, he's really careful about the nets, but not on Shabbos.
I know. If you would do 7 days a week, but there isn't one available on Shabbos, then
it's wrong thing to do.
That's one thing. But if he's Zaya on the Yom Sukkot, but not Zaya on Shabbos, then he can't. Then Shabbos decide to take advantage of it.
Right. Okay, I hear that. And perhaps the other way, the flip side of this question is the following question. Somebody who never davens nets. He always davens, but let's say he's finding himself for a week in a holiday somewhere and there's no minion. Does he gain anything? Is there any point for him to daven? Is anywhere without a minion? Can he daven without a minion? If he davens now with the nets, is there any point in that? Should he try to catch the nets? Or perhaps, but the way you're interpreting this bialocha, it doesn't make a difference because he's not a zoyer anyway. So it doesn't have a heter anyway. Right, but you're saying that if he's anywhere in a place where there's no minion, you're saying
there's zoyer the chumra and zoyer the kula,
right?
Right.
So you're saying the chumra.
If he wants to take on more, there is a sure, right? If he,
Right.
You're saying
he's nowhere worse off then.
One is being Zayah the Kula.
Right. I hear what you're saying. You're saying that, right, okay. But it's a Bialoch Rabbeisah, which is well, it's well known. And the people who are Makbet to daven with the nets, yeah, as you're saying, the Zahirim to daven nets, they can rely on it. Which, in other words, that means, if you're davening, and that could happen. I mean, if a person davens regularly with the nets, with a minion, and then one day there's only 9 people, there's not 10 people, the halacha psuka is, they daven the whole year, they daven with the nets, and there's a minion, once off there's no minion. What they should do is they should.
Is he saying that's better?
Yeah, they should do that, yeah. I think so. Yeah, mutually cursed, but it's probably the right. What they will do in such an instance, and I think the Bialoch is a good makor for that. They will daven with the nets in without a minion. If one's off, there's no minion. Okay, we continue. Rabbi Yisai. There is an interesting Bialoch in Sifkot Yud Aleph, which as follows. So we learned yesterday that a person should say Shema as early as he can, after the ideal zman. He should say Shema as early as possible. Pimheiro mikan sivkot yudalef mikan for me. Trichachas megulah bnei Ashkenaz. There is over here a particular protest against the bnei Ashkenaz. I don't know who he's referring to. Shema achim oid kiyas Shema. They recite Shema very, very late. Vomu Chazal. Chazal say il molelo nivra oilom. If the world wouldn't be created, Elo only, Bishul Kabbalah Malchus Shemaim Dayoy. If the Kodesh Baruch Hu would only create, it would have been worth creating the world. It would have been worth creating the world just for Kabbalah Malchus Shemaim of Shema. It would have been worth it. Ve'ayin lekamonsim peites, Tenochen imnoem lishto is atei ve'kafe boike koidem atfile v'asivus chaverim. You should not, before Kabbalah Malchus Shemaim, before Shema, you should not have a communal coffee. You can have a coffee, we learned that previously, you can have a coffee, but not a communal coffee. What's the difference in a communal coffee and a private coffee?
The chatting,
the schmoozing around. Exactly. So that's wrong. He says, you can have a coffee before Kabbalah Malchus Shemaim, but you can't have a public one. That's wrong. Now, somebody asked me last week, and I do not know the answer. Rabbi Yisrael, what do you feel about that? Somebody asked me, it's not really Al-Chizkiyashma, but it's a good question. Somebody asked me the following question. What does the Mishnah book complain about? What does he say? Mikan trichachas megulah bnei Ashkenaz, shema'achim oid kiyas Shema. He said, a protest against the bnei Ashkenaz, who say Shema very late. What strikes you when Chofetz Chaim says that? What's quite striking about that? I don't know the answer. What?
Number one, he's lumping all the bnei Ashkenaz together.
Yeah. Yes.
And number two, what does it mean? Are they missing the Zman?
It sounds like many people do, yeah. As many people do, but there is a generalization.
What does it mean? It's within the Zman, but they're leaving.
No, it sounds like he's saying that they missed the Zman. They say Mishnah complains about Zman. But I think what is striking is, who's writing this? Chofetz Chaim. What's Chofetz Chaim famous for? Besides for the Dirshu Olam. What's Chofetz Chaim well known for? Lashon Hara. Right? You wouldn't expect the Chofetz Chaim to write, hey, the Bnei Ashkenaz, they're not good about... Are you allowed to say Musa? That all the Chinese do this, all the Sfardim like this, all the Ashkenazim do like this, all the thing. It doesn't seem to fit the rules of...
There's nowhere else in Mishnah Berurah
I do not know if there is. So specific about what Chofetz Chaim does numerous times. Yeah, he does say Musa, but he will not... He wouldn't frame it and confine it to one kind of group of people. So the Bnei Ashkenaz do it, and that's not good. It's very strange. Besides the fact, that's something which I don't know the answer. That doesn't seem to fit with the general rules and regulations of Hilchos Lashon Hara. It doesn't seem to fit. I don't know. And the other thing is, just historically, I always felt that, who are the Bnei Ashkenaz? Who are they? Who are the Bnei Ashkenaz?
Germans.
The Germans. Now I think the Germans, on the whole, they daven quite early.
Does he mean only Germans, or means all Ashkenazi?
Good question. Maybe he meant everybody, but normally I would expect that the Bnei Ashkenaz is talking about the Bnei Ashkenaz, the Germans, and I think that's what he's referring to, and Or maybe it's a broader term. I don't know. It was a bit after. It was well after the core maskilim, but so therefore, what were you saying? That, well, the ones went off. They didn't care about Zaltzman Kirshma anyway. I don't know. Okay, we carry on. It's just a small subtle point on the side. Continues Shulchan Aruch in Seif Beis Rabbi Zai. If you didn't say Shema before Netzachamo, say it as soon as you can. As we mentioned previously, say Shema as early and as soon as you can. The earlier, the better. What's wrong with that? But what's wrong with that?
Put it as early as you can. Let's say the Sossaman's 9 o'clock. So don't wait till...
Why not?
Don't wait till 5 tonight.
Your Yotze, what's wrong with that? What's a Chocho Magul about that?
It's not really showing...
There is a Nino of Zizimak Dimen, and you should say...
It's not really the way to be Mekabal Olamach Shaman.
Look, and Sifkot Niyut Mishavu teaches us that the reason why I should do early is because Rizim Akdim Le Mitzvahs. So, would you say that somebody who does Marev, is also Rizim Akdim Le Marev? There's an Indian of Rizim Akdim Le Marev as well. Would you say to Chocha Magul of people who daven Marev at 11 p.m.? That's what people are not saying it at all. Would you say that this Chazal also applies to somebody who says it late? I hear your approach.
Shabbat, What's he doing before that?
I don't know why, but he's mekayim the mitzvah. So even if he does it 2 minutes before the Zavzman, he's saying it within the Zavzman.
That's not really an ideal way to be mekayim. He's Yotze, of course. No one's arguing that.
So would you say that Ilmalei Loi Nivro Oilem Ode Bishvil Kabbalot Malchus Shemaim is talking about somebody who's doing the mitzvah but he's doing it late? Sounds to me like a very harsh, very strict...
He's an onus and he can't help that.
Okay, I'm leaving it open. I don't know. I hear.
Last
I hear. I don't know what to say. Okay, Rabbi Yisayim, but let's perhaps start Sif Gimel. Mishu Onus. Somebody's an Oinus. Kegon Shem Mashkim Lot says Dech Mukam Gedud Ichai Velistim. Somebody's traveling in a dangerous place. So he gets up very early. Mashkim Lot says Lederech Pemokam Gedud Ichai Velistim is dangerous animals. Or list them, thieves, robbers, dangerous people around. Shaluch alamot, he's not going to be able to stand, v'lo lichavei, not to have proper kavona, afilu parasha rishon, even the first parasha of Shema. V'afilu al levavecha, on even those very first words and paragraphs, he's unable to concentrate. Why? Because he's in a dangerous place. Or shibnei ha-shayora, or the convoy, the people that he's traveling with, ho'ilchim ha-heod are traveling fast, this is again not a comfortable, nice place, and he's traveling with lots of people, and they're just moving on. They're not going to wait. If he stops now, even just for a few minutes, and he's going to say Shema, the way he's meant to say Shema properly, he will miss them. They're going to be, by the time he's finishing Shema, they'll be, you know, a few hundred meters gone, and it's going to be very hard for him to catch them. So therefore, in such instances, that he's either unable to concentrate, or he's going to miss the Olam, in such a scenario, you can say it Mishamud HaShachar, which is very, very early. Why? There's in that very early stage of the day, which is the Amud HaShachar, he's able to then recite Shema, despite the fact that normally you're not Yotze at such a time. But here, in such as extreme situations, Chazal will make kill, it's still considered Ufkumecha. Well, guess what? He is up. There are people who are up. He says Ufkumecha. It is some people are up, and therefore he's able to say Shema at that stage. You can also say Yotze Oyer, because there is a tiny little bit of light already out there. But if it's not such a dangerous place, and similarly also when the convoy, the people he's traveling with, are not in such a hurry, they'll wait a few minutes for him, it's not such a major, major hurry, then he's not allowed to rely on this leniency, he's not allowed to say Shema that early, he's got to wait until, this man mentioned yesterday, Mishyak here, he's got to wait a little bit, and only then it's going to be Yotze. But what Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here, that on the extreme circumstances, an oinus, you would be able to say Shema at such an early stage. It's very, very dark still. It's really, really dark. There's still that feeling of being the night. Moshacha is still, you feel it's the night. You can just see a little bit of the on the right, it's a tiny bit of the starting of the, it's the end of the night, really, rather than the beginning of the day. But since there are people who are waking up at that time, so it's considered of Kamechon, you can be bedi'evet, you can, or rather as an oinus, you're allowed to say Shema. What does Nogala Maisa is people traveling. I've done myself done it. When you're traveling, and the flights and whatever the journey may be, and you know that later you won't be able to. Now you're still at home, and you can still daven properly. But as soon as you're going to be, you know, traveling, you're going to be in the car, you're going to be in the airport, you're going to be wherever you're going to be, you're not going to be able to daven properly. This kula certainly applies as well.
What about daven tefillin? It's too early for that.
Yes, so you have to put it later. You'll have to put it later.
And say Shema.
You say Shema. Yeah. Although you won't have to say Shema again. You don't have to say Shema again. You could say no. You don't. You could say the Mishnah before taught us. You could actually say anything. Yeah, I think many people will say Shema, but you could say. Okay, boys, that's it for this evening.